We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. We're presented by the Keystone Sports Network, and we are going to finish strong. Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer from Penn Live and the Patriot News, Ross the Boss. Ross Tucker's here. I'm Andy Shea. We're going to talk the next 2 weeks. We're going to do our questions heading into the 2018 season. We're going to do a little round table. Start off today, we're going to do defense this week. We're going to do offense next week. It would seem most appropriately that with replacing seven or eight starters on the defensive side of the ball, including the entire secondary that went to the NFL, correct?
Yeah.
That the defense would be the most concerns. I, for one, don't have as many concerns defensively as I do offensively, believe it or not. But we're going to start on defense this week.
You know what? It is weird because you read certain reports and they talk about how Penn State lost their whole defense and Penn State lost however many starters it is. But because so many of these other guys have played, it doesn't really – and you get John Reed back. Mm-hmm. And Aurora has been good.
Good try.
Go ahead.
Almost
Bob.
Had it. Almost.
Good try.
Aurora.
Amanio.
Yeah.
That kid's going to be the death of me. Anyway, why did he have to be so good? You know, you could really stink, Amani. That'd be a lot better for me.
I gave up a long time ago trying to stink.
But my point is so many of the guys, even if they're not starters, they've been playing. So it doesn't seem like as much of a concern as how other people put it. And I think that's where you want to get to as a program, where you have enough depth and talent that you're playing enough guys that even though you lose starters, you have guys that have been playing and they're ready to increase their role.
What do you think is your top concern on the defensive side of the ball, Mr. Flounders?
Yeah, so I'm gonna.
It can be anything.
Yeah, I know. So for me, it's just watching this team the last 2 years and watching the games that they've lost. This might not be something that you guys necessarily consider a priority, but for me, it's going to be overall, especially against good teams. My concern or my question is this: can the front four, specifically the inside guys, whoever they are, can they affect the quarterback in the second half of games, whether they're in close games or protecting leads, without Penn State having to blitz? They don't have to get home and sack the quarterback. It's forcing bad throws. It's hitting the quarterback, disrupting the quarterback. Can the rush, especially inside, disrupt other good offenses late in games? Because that didn't happen against Ohio State. It didn't happen against Michigan State. It didn't happen against USC. Can those guys do it? Because I think big picture, that's where they're going to win the game, and that's where you win the games against good teams in the playoff too.
My number one concern would be tied to that was defensively. So what I saw was in those games in Penn State, it was all the same kind of blueprint you're focusing on the up front. Most of that secondary went to and was drafted by the NFL, and I thought you watch all those games, the definition of insanity is to do it the same way. I thought the defensive backs were handcuffed. I thought they played the exact same way they had always played. When you're getting your head handed to you on a platter like that against USC or in the fourth quarter against Ohio State and it's pitch and catch, you can't do what you've always done. If you can't get home up front, and that was clear, you're right. My concern is, Will they make that adjustment? Will the defensive coordinator say, we're going to roll our corners up and stand in their face instead of doing what they've always done, and they're getting burned like toast? That was what bothered me more than anything, is they didn't make the adjustment, and the adjustment might not work. That's okay. But you can't do what you do because you know that you can't stop them and the pressure's not getting home. That is my concern, is when they're getting their face smeared a little bit, are they willing to go outside the box and do something different to try and quell it?
Well, I just, before I even get to mine, I think you both make really good points because, you know, they did have a good secondary last year in terms of guys going to the NFL. And here we are where the two most important games, and even the most important game the year before against USC, they got torched. I mean, Brian Lewerke, that was the best game that JT Barrett ever had in his whole life. And if Penn State was able to disrupt him more up front, to Bob's point, or cover better, to your point, they would have won the game. And I think if Penn State beats Ohio State, I think they beat Michigan State the next week. I think they're undefeated playing Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. They probably win that. I think Penn State makes the college football playoff. Yeah. But that's how small, razor thin, the margin of error was. And the fourth quarter of that Ohio State game, the difference in the line play up front by both teams was just night and day. Penn State could not block the Ohio State kids. They could not block them. Conversely, JT Barrett had as much time as he wanted. He just sat there. And I think you make a good point too, Andy. Watching it, didn't it just feel like it was inevitable?
The body language of the D-backs told me they didn't believe.
It was almost like they weren't trying to stop him. They were just trying to slow him down. It didn't feel aggressive. Nope. It didn't feel confident. It felt passive. It felt laid back. And it felt inevitable. And I know a lot of Penn State fans felt that way as well.
It just felt the same way in the USC game.
Yeah. I think both of your – you're right. I think both of your question marks are really, really good ones and ones to keep an eye on this year.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. We're on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we've got you covered. Quarter number four, Bob Flounders, Ross Tucker, Andy Shea. We're talking about our questions going into the 2018 season. This week, we're talking defense. Ross, you had your hand up.
Well, isn't it kind of interesting that we have a pretty good feel for the secondary and pretty good feel for the D-line, yet that's what you guys mentioned as your question marks. I thought you both would say linebackers. Linebackers, a pretty obvious question mark. They have one proven commodity at linebacker.
Cole Farmer.
One, Cole Farmer. And even he, I don't know that he's an all Big Ten player.
I mean, he's
a really nice athlete that
he'd be a great package player.
I don't think he made as many plays last year as I thought he would.
Nope.
You know, I felt like he almost made more plays down the stretch in 2016 when they were blitzing him off the edge and stuff. Last year, it didn't seem like he made as many plays. And I'm glad he's really fast. And I'm glad he used to return kicks. And I think all that stuff's cool. But what matters is how you play. You know? And like, I hear all this about how athletic Manny Bowen was. He was not as productive as Brandon Smith. We've talked about this. And I'm hearing the same things now about Micah Parsons and Jan Johnson and whatever happens at linebacker. We'll see. We'll see. I think linebacker is a major question mark. They really – I mean, when's the last time they had a linebacker get drafted? I'm sure it was like recently and I'm just forgetting.
Well, the last time they really – because Mike Hull was a free agent, and Mike Hull had that great year, excuse me, in 2000.
He did have a great year.
But he was undrafted.
But Kabinda wasn't drafted.
Yeah, so you're talking about Mowdy and Hodges. You're talking about the 2013 draft. And they both went – Mowdy went late because of the knee, and Hodges, I think, went in the fourth or fifth round.
It's a long time ago.
They both went to the Vikings.
I mean, for linebacker you, that yeah. feels like – I mean, to not even get drafted sixth or seventh
it
round.
It is.
And I don't – I mean – it looks to me like maybe Cole Farmer gets drafted late, and it looks to me like they've, you know, maybe Luketa and Parsons, mm-hmm. and they've got some guys. But I think it's fair to say the biggest question mark on defense is the linebacker play. It's involved in the run game and the passing game, and they really only have one average known commodity. So does Jan Johnson surprise mm-hmm. us as a walk-on? Does Cam Brown take the next right. step that his athletic ability would indicate? Is Micah Parsons ready?
Yeah.
You know, I guess the final point I would make there is I understand why people want athletic guys. And you want athletic linebackers, guys that can run and have physical tools. And that's how they get 4 stars and all that stuff. But you got to play.
I was going to say, it's how you play.
Yeah. I mean, like Cam Brown and Cole Farmer, nah.
Yeah.
Nah. I mean, we'll see. Maybe I hope that they both step yeah. up.
I think it's also you're making the case for them to play a 4-2-5 almost 80% of the snaps when you don't have three guys you trust, but you like, even though you're replacing four guys in the on the back end, but you have guys that have played a lot, like Amani, who was a reserve when he made All Big Ten last year. You got John Reed coming back, and he was a proven player. You like Lamont Wade. You feel pretty good about Nick Scott. I think you feel really good about Tariq Castro Fields. I think you're making the case. So if you're Brent Pry at the end of August, you and James Franklin sit down and say, look, the way the game is played and what we're dealing with at linebacker, I mean, aren't we better off playing a 4-2-5?
Yes, and in my mind, I think that makes it even more likely that maybe first and 10 or situations where they think it's high propensity for run, doesn't it make it more likely that they have Jan Johnson in there to get everybody lined up and where they're supposed to be, because you have all these other athletes. And also, knowing that Cam Brown and Koa Farmer have that athleticism, it might be nice to have one guy that you know is definitely going to be where he's supposed to be and doing what he's supposed to do to kind of make up for those other guys, and vice versa. If there's something with Jan's athleticism that he can't get to a play, then maybe those guys can.
Yeah, I really do think that I think they play that – the 5DB package more than most fans realize. But when you lose Kabinda and Brandon Smith especially, and Manny Bowen sure looks like he's not going to be part of the plan, why wouldn't you be in a nickel the majority of the game? Now, against Pitt, obviously it's going to be different. Maybe against Michigan and Wisconsin, it's going to be different.
Wisconsin, definitely different.
But most of the teams you're going to play, it makes sense to do that, I think.
I thought one of the thing that stood out to me about the blue-white game more than anything was the way Penn State lined up its defense. They were in a 4-2-5 more than anything, blue or white. And maybe that was out of necessity. You just weren't sure. But I'm thinking maybe they were window shopping as well. Last point before we get out, I wanted to bring up straight up the middle about the defense. Straight up the middle. You go all three levels, straight up the middle of the field. Concern or no concern?
Concern.
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 Absolutely.
Question marks and lack of depth.
Biggest concern is straight up the middle, I would say.
That's what I was...
Straight up the middle is the concern. Middle linebacker safeties have not... Nick Scott's played a little, but I mean...
Garrett Taylor has not played.
We think is Robert Windsor ready to play 50 snaps? He looked good when he played 20 snaps. Kevin Givens certainly is strong enough and quick enough, and he has the talent to play in the NFL, but he's got to get his head on straight, and the stats have to be there at the three technique position.
It goes back to what Ross said. These guys got to play. We see some of the what we're looking for, but we're not seeing maybe enough of it on a consistent basis.
And D-tackle depth is a big, big – these teams run like 80, 90 snaps now in college football.
Right.
With the no huddle, hurry up. I mean, they are flying off the ball. And you need four or five D-tackles. Right now we know of what, two? That's a
two, maybe three. We got two and a P, as you like to say in the good cards games. P being the possibility of a regular. All right. You never heard that?
No.
She can belt. She can really belt.
She can really belt. All right. That'll do it for the Keystone Kickoff Show this week. Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ross. Good job, gentlemen. For everyone here at the Keystone Sports Network, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't do this anywhere but Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light Loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.